Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, 1st chapter, text 49, translation. Vasudev considered, by delivering all my sons to Kamsa, who is death personified, I shall save the life of Devaki. Perhaps Kamsa will die before my sons take birth, since he is already destined to die at the hands of one of my sons. One of my sons may also kill Kamsa. For the time being, let me promise to hand over my sons so that Kamsa will give up this immediate threat. And if in the due course of time Kamsa dies, I shall have nothing to fear. Purport. Vasudev wanted to save the life of Devaki by promising to deliver his sons to Kamsa. In the future, he thought, Kamsa may die, or I may not beget any sons. Even if a son is born and I deliver him to Kamsa, Kamsa may die at his hands, for by providence anything could happen. It's very difficult to understand how things are managed by providence. Thus Vasudev decided that he would promise to deliver his sons to the hands of Kamsa in order to save Devaki from the imminent danger of death. Om and Ganatimarandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasudhi Gaur Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So Vasudev is facing a serious dilemma. Kamsa wants to kill his wife, Devaki, because of Akashvani, that the future son of this girl, Devaki, will kill you. So then he thought, oh, I should kill this Devaki right now. Then she has no, there's no future for her and no sons. She'll have no sons and those sons won't kill me because I'll kill her. Now Vasudev is trying to placate him, pacify him, and protect his wife. So he's using argument, reason, logic, sweet words, glorification, all kinds of things. So in this particular verse, he's considering, he's meditating and reflecting on the situation. If I do this, then that may happen, or this may happen. So this is, of course, the behavior of any intelligent man. A man who has intelligence, he has to deliberate over his life and its circumstances. He has to consider the options. He uses his power of experience, his power of knowledge, his power of intuition, his power of spiritual purity. How much realized has he realized the super soul, Antaryami, Divya Drishti? It's like we see, how do we see the world? How do we understand the world? How do we understand life? We understand by our experience, by our acquired knowledge, by what we've heard and seen. So we have some understanding of life and its different circumstances. But there's a higher understanding, which is the perfect understanding. Because our understanding or our vision of reality is imperfect. Because what do we know? We know something of our present life. And we've acquired some knowledge about the present. But we don't know about the future, and we don't know about the past. We can't see the past. We can't remember the past. And we can't see the future. But God sees everything. God knows the past. God knows the present. God knows the future. So a materialistic person, when he considers the events of his life, and he has to discriminate and make a decision, we use the phrase, take a decision. You have to take a decision. But the basis of your taking decision depends on your discrimination. depends on your knowledge, depends on your experience. And for most people, their experience, their knowledge, and their decisions are all based, are all made from a material foundation. Because they have very limited full perception of the time factor, past, present, and future. But there are realized persons, advanced transcendental personalities, rishis, yogis, great jnanis, spiritual persons that have connection with inner vision. Because our darshan, our perception of reality depends on these material things I mentioned. But for a rishi or a sage, his understanding of reality, he has divya drishti. He has contact with antaryami. He's connected with God, yoga. He's connected with God. Therefore, in Sanskrit, it describes that the perception of a yogi or the perception of a great devotee or bhakta, it's called trikalagyan. Trikalagya, right? Trikalagya. He has jnana or knowledge of trikala. He can see and understand the past. He can see and understand the present. And he can see and understand the future. Just like sometimes people in business people, especially in India, they go to a Jyotish or they go to a tantric and they say, can you tell me what will happen in the future? And then they look at your chart, your Janma Kundali, and they do some different breathings, and they do Puja the Hanuman or Durga or so many things they do. And they say, oh yes, this will happen, that will happen, this will happen. And you say, oh, thank you very much. And then you go and make your appropriate decisions, investments, liquidations of assets, etc. But then unfortunately, 50% of the time, the Jyotish is wrong. This is the sad truth. Which is also mentioned in the Hara Shastra by Parasara Muni. He warns the Jyotish, be careful, because we are imperfect. We do have limited senses. We do make mistakes. Believe it or not, you make mistakes. I make mistakes. To err is human. To make a mistake, it's a human frailty. We do make mistakes in judgment, in perception, in understanding, in decision making. We do make mistakes, believe it or not. It's hard to accept the fact that we're imperfect. It's very, very hard to accept the fact that we're imperfect or me. I made a mistake? That's not possible. So of course, the degree to which we're contaminated by the trigunas, it's a degree to which we have this imperfect way of thinking. Krishna explains in 16th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, the Asura Sampat. He says the wealth, Sampat means wealth, Sampat or Sampat, the wealth. What is the wealth of the Asura? What are his good qualities? What are the good qualities of the Asura or demon? Ishvara aham aham bogi siddham balavan sukhi. He explains, this is how the Asura thinks. He thinks, Ishvaraham, I am perfect. Ishvaraham, aham, siddham, siddham. Ishvaraham means I am the controller, right? Ishvara. Siddham, siddha, siddham. I am perfect. I don't make mistakes. I don't have imperfect senses. I am never subject to illusion. And I, of course, I never cheat anyone. Ishvaraham aham bogi siddham. Bogi, I'm the enjoyer. Everything is meant for me. But the transcendentalist, he understands, dasosmi. I am simply the humble servant of God. And as this verse mentions, that everything is happening by the will of providence. What is providence? Providence means God. Sometimes providence is translated as destiny. But the spiritual person, he doesn't have this idea that I'm perfect, that I'm the controller, that I make no mistakes. But the very advanced spiritualist, he doesn't make mistakes because he's fully surrendered to God. And within the heart, God is showing him, this is what happened in the past, this is what will happen in the future. So he can have this tricolor gyan. He can see the future. And he will not make mistakes. Whereas a Jyotish, or a tantric, he will make mistakes. Because his basis of knowledge is material. It's not God. They do so many pujas and they have so many, it's called siddhis. But a God-realized soul, he can actually see and predict the future. So the person who is foolish, a materialistic person, he doesn't understand why things are happening. Why things are happening? He doesn't understand. Why doesn't he understand? Because he can't see the past and he doesn't know the future. There was one famous book written in the West by a highly educated person. The person had a master's degree and a PhD degree, and he was so learned, supposedly, he was a professor, and he writes a book, famous book, Why Do Bad Things Happen to Good People? You understand? Why do good people, innocent good people, why do they suffer? Why do bad things happen to them? It's not fair. God is not just. There is no justice in this world. God made the world. He wound up the clock. He made the world and then he went away and he's not watching it. He's not paying attention. He's not taking care of the good people. He's letting the good people suffer and get assassinated and terrorized and cheated. And good people get diseased. And good people, the good, virtuous, pious person, his son gets run over by a car. Why is that? It's not fair. There's no justice. So this, of course, is a statement of a fool. Mudha, murka. So most of us are a little bit foolish because of our lack of perception. So here, Vasudeva is not like that. He says, I understand that providence, that God is controlling everything. And how He's controlling everything. He's controlling everything as a very honest and fair judge. Just like you go in the court of law. The two lawyers don't decide the case. One lawyer, he pleads the case on behalf of the defendant. This man is innocent. And then the other lawyer, he pleads the case on the behalf of the state. The state, no, the government, the police department. They say, no, this man is a murderer. He killed so many people. So they state their cases. And then the judge, how does he make a decision? He makes a decision on the basis of law. What are the laws? He consults the law books and he sees the situation. Then he makes a decision. So that decision will generally be correct. So the Supreme Lord, sometimes people see in this world, they say, my friend is a dacoit. He cheats on his taxes. He does so much black money. He doesn't do any. He never comes to temple. He never does anything pious. He never does any religion. He doesn't do anything spiritual. He's doing all kinds of sins. He's non-veg. He's a womanizer, a whiskey drinker. But he has perfect health. His health is perfect. He never gets sick. His family is very happy. And he has so much money. And he's famous in society. You've seen this? People have seen this. Now you might say, well, why is this? This isn't fair. Now I see another person, like myself. I'm an innocent person. I'm innocent. I'm God-fearing. I've raised my family in a godly way. We go to the temple and we try to serve God and we're vegetarian and we follow religious principles. We try to live our duty. We're honest. We pay our taxes. We don't cheat. But yet, my son has a terminal disease. My daughter had this difficulty and my wife is dying of cancer. And I just lost my job. What's going on? What's going on? Is there God up there? It's not fair. Forget about this God. I don't want this God anymore. Prabhupada tells a story. During World War II, while the fighting is going on, England and Germany and all these countries, NATO and Germany. So all the people in Germany, many of them were Christians. They believed in God, Jesus, everything. So the ladies, their husbands are off in the battlefield in Tangier and Africa and India, all the places fighting. So the wives of the German husbands, they went into the churches and they prayed, "Oh God, please bring back our husbands. We need our husbands. Please bring back our husbands." And they prayed every day and they did their puja. And then the war was over. And of course, so many husbands didn't come back. Because that's the way war is. I mean, you know, they go and they don't come back. So when so many of their husbands didn't come back, they said, "Oh, damn it. To hell with God. To hell with God. There's no God. I don't believe in God. I prayed to him and he didn't pay up. He didn't fulfill my prayers. So he doesn't exist. If he existed, how could I have two sons and a little baby and he took away my husband? It's not fair. He's unjust." They think like this. So many became atheists. Because they don't understand. They can't see the past of their husband. They don't know what he did. Why is one person blessed with wealth and another person is suffering in poverty? There is a cause for everything. Ishvara Paramakrishna, Sachidananda Vigra, Anadi Radhya Govinda, Sarva Karna Karanam. The first person in the world, the very first person, the first citizen of the universe, right? There's so many citizens, so many people. The first citizen, the first person, the first jana of the whole universe was Lord Brahma. Brahma. And he said, he understood and he realized that there is a cause for everything. Everything has a cause. And what is the cause? Krishna. Govindam Adipurusham Tamaham Bhajami. Oh my Lord Govinda, you're so beautiful, so fair and sweet and kind, but you are the cause of everything. But how does he cause everything? He's like the judge. If the person is guilty and it's according to law he's guilty, then the judge gives out the punishment. So in the same way, when we say that providence, everything is caused by providence, it is caused by providence, but he is the, you can say the immediate cause, but the efficient cause is us. For example, when the dacoit kills someone, he gets arrested, and then the lawyer pleads his case before the judge. He's innocent, don't hang him. And then the state says, "No, he's not innocent, he killed someone. It's proven." And then the judge decides, "Yes, this is right. He killed someone, he should be hung." So then someone might say, "Oh, that's not fair. Why is he being hung?" But the judge is just calling the decision according to the accurate, you know, what's been reported. So God is controlling everything. He is giving the reward or the punishment according to what we have done. What we have done in our previous life or past life. For example, I cited earlier the dacoit. The person who never goes to church, he doesn't do anything spiritual, he's doing all sinful life, but he's very healthy, his family's very happy, and he's well respected. And you say, that's not fair. But it is fair, because in his previous life, he went to church every day, he did so many things, and he got rewarded in this life. But now in this life, he's living like a dacoit and a demon. So what will happen in his next life? He'll be suffering. He'll be suffering with so many diseases, so many disturbances, so many poverties. So in this life, you're suffering. Although you're turning to God and you're innocent and you're God-fearing, we are suffering or enjoying now because of what we did in the past. So when the criminal goes to get hung, he can't say, "Hey, why are you hanging me?" They say, "We're hanging you because you killed someone. So why am I suffering? Because in my last life I did some sins." So Krishna simply gives it out. He says, because God has the record. Providence. We say destiny, providence, God. He has a full record of all the good and bad we've done. So ultimately we say everything depends on providence. Everything depends on God. But God is simply he's an expert judge. He's a perfect judge, and he's very fair. He's very fair. It's not that he's not fair. If we act properly, we get the proper result. If we act sinfully, we get punished. And he even tells, there's no surprises, there's no secrets in the kingdom of God. There are no secrets, there are no surprises. It's all very, very clear. The path of action is very clear, the path of reaction is very clear, and the path of fruits is very clear. Karma. There's karma and there's karma fall. There's papa karma, punya karma, papa karma fall, and punya karma fall. If you engage in this line of karma, you'll get this karma fall. If you do this line of karma, you'll get that karma fall. Well, how do you know? Where do you find these things? In the Shastra. Who gave the Shastra? Vyasadeva. Who is Vyasadeva? Krishna. Shaktivesh Avatar. He is empowered. Krishna has written everything down and says, you live like this, you get this result. Just like we have Shastra for India. They say, you live like this, you get this result. But if you live like this, in other words, we have all these laws of Delhi and India. If you follow those laws and don't break those laws, then what happens? You're peaceful. No one takes you to jail. Just like one law is, you have to pay your taxes. Is it right? You have some taxes in your business. So what if you decide to say, well, I know it's a law that you should pay your taxes, but I'm not going to pay. But as they say in English, crime doesn't pay. Or rather you should say, you will pay for your crimes. So you don't pay your taxes, then what happens? Then the tax department, what do they call it? Income tax office, they come and they say, oh, excuse me, Mr. Gupta, you owe us 125 crores of rupees. What are you going to do about it? Oh, well, I didn't think you had to pay. I just decided I wasn't going to follow the law. I said, that's nice. So now we will force you to follow the law. We'll put you in jail, right? So we can voluntarily follow the laws and enjoy the result, the good result. Or we can voluntarily, by our free will, break all the laws and suffer. So when the government puts you in suffering, you can't blame the government and say, oh, the government's mean. The government's not fair. So when we're in suffering, we can't blame God. Rather, the devotee sees suffering, he sees anything that comes to him, he sees that it's just, in other words, a materialist, when he suffers, or when he has difficulty, he tries to adjust his environment. He tries to adjust and change his external environment. But he doesn't understand that the suffering is due to his previous activities, either in previous life or in this life. And what he should really do is, instead of trying to adjust his external environment, he should adjust his internal environment. He should adjust his consciousness. He should change his consciousness, because it's his consciousness which determines his path of action. And he has the wrong consciousness, so he engaged in the wrong actions which gave him the wrong reaction. He's suffering. So the devotee, when any suffering comes to him, he thinks, Tatenu kampam shushimikshamano punjana evatma kritam vipakam. Right, this vipakam, atma kritam vipakam. Atma kritam vipakam. I am the cause of my vipakam. Kritam vipakam. I did so many bad things, now I'm suffering. But anyway, Krishna is sending this to me. Krishna is sending this suffering. Why is he sending me suffering and not you suffering? Because I deserve it. Because I'm a rascal. Because I'm a nonsense. In this life or in last life. But I can't see it. I think I'm great. I think I'm perfect. I didn't hurt anybody. I didn't do anything. But in last life, he did so many things. So the devotee adjusts his consciousness. He surrenders to Krishna. Sharanagati. O Prabhu Sharanagati. I surrender unto you. You are the only solution. I will accept this situation, and I will accept it positively and favorably, because this is my situation. This is my suffering. I personally ordered this. I ordered this. Like someone comes to your door with a package, and they say, oh, you ordered this in the mail. We're delivering these goods to you because we got your order by the computer. So when the When suffering comes to us and it knocks on our door and says, oh, guess what? Time for suffering. And they come and take away our wife. She dies in a car accident. But she's only 29. It's not fair. I've only been married for 2 years. We have a little baby. Sorry. You ordered it. It was already ordered. You ordered this suffering. Now it's been delivered. It's been delivered on your doorstep. So how you'll respond to it. So that's the difference between a spiritualist and a materialist. It's the response to the environment. A spiritualist, he responds to the environment in a spiritual way. He turns to God. He tries to see God's hand in everything. Oh my Lord, oh Prabhu, what are you teaching me here? What have I done to deserve this mercy? Like that classic story of the king and the minister about the mercy, right? We've told it so many times. How the minister was always seeing everything as God's mercy. Because he was a devotee. Krishna's mercy. He said, oh, Krishna's mercy. Every time something happened to the king, he'd say, oh, king, you're very fortunate. This is Krishna's mercy. So one day the king went, he was hunting. And somehow he was shooting his arrows in such a way that he cut off his thumb. Finger got cut off. So he's missing one finger. So when he came before his minister, the minister said, oh, this is wonderful, Krishna's mercy. Huh? What do you mean this is Krishna's mercy? You know, look, I cut off my pinky, my little finger. And you're smiling, say, oh, look how merciful Krishna is. He's so kind to you. He's seeing Krishna, and the king says, you think it's nice, huh? Well, here, I'm going to give you some Krishna's mercy. Put this guy in jail. Lock up this minister. He's a nonsense. He's thinking it's funny that I lost my finger. So he just put him away in the jail. So the minister has no food, no freedom, no anything. He's in jail. So now the king goes hunting. And he's going hunting, he's practicing his skill, and then he gets caught by a band of dacoits. Some dacoits in the jungle. And they're worshipping Kali Bhairav. So they capture the king and they say, ah, now we're going to offer this king to Kali. So they take his clothes and they bathe him in the river. They get him all ready to offer to Kali. They put him on the altar and they, perform all the yajnas, and the man comes with a chopper. They're going to cut his head off. Make a human sacrifice to Kali. So they're about to sacrifice. Hey, wait, stop! Look, we can't offer this person. He's missing his pinky. Because when you offer to Durga, you have to offer 10 fingers, 10 toes, 2 eyes, nose, everything. You can't offer incomplete things. So that dacoit said, let this guy go, just throw him away. So then the king came home and he was thinking, wow, Krishna's mercy. Oh Krishna, oh Bhagavan, hey Bhagavan, you're so kind. I think I should build a temple in my kingdom. I think the first thing I'll do when I go back is I'll build a temple to Krishna. And of course I have to let my minister out of jail also. So he goes back to the palace, he lets the minister out of jail. He says, please come, take a nice feast, have some kachoris, whatever he wants, samosas. Because he hadn't eaten for days. He was, So the minister was wondering, why the change? Why you're so nice to me? He said, I realized. I had a stark, graphic realization of what you're always telling me. Krishna's mercy, Krishna's mercy, Krishna's mercy. So please forgive me for punishing you. Take this nice feast. Here's a raise in pay. Like that. Here's some gold for your wife, everything. So now the king, after he ate his meal, then the king said, so I understand how ultimately, although in the beginning when I cut my finger and you said that, I didn't understand it. Now I understand how this was Krishna's mercy. I lost my finger because it saved my neck. Because the dacoits would have cut me and killed me. So I'm still alive today because of Krishna's mercy. But my question is, how is it Krishna's mercy that you were thrown in the jail and locked up and starving for 7 days? And then the Brahmin minister of the king, he smiled, yes, oh Krishna, oh Govinda, oh Damodar, you're so sweet. Oh, isn't it? And he looked at the king and said, Maharaj, isn't our Lord so lovable, so kind, so fair and so generous? Yes, but why? But I don't understand. How is you didn't eat anything for 7 days and you're suffering so much? How is that Krishna's mercy? No, that is such mercy of Krishna, because usually when you go hunting, you don't go alone. Although you're powerful and you can fight tigers and elephants, you can go alone, and you went alone last time. But usually, because we're such close friends, you take me with you. And if I had gone with you in the forest and gone hunting, then the dacoits would have caught you, and they would have caught me, and whoop, they would have offered my neck to Kali. And then Hare Krishna, no samosas today. I would not be having rasgullas right now. So this is Krishna's mercy. So the king said, ah, yeah, I see. Everything is Krishna's mercy. So tateinu kampam shushimikshimano bunjane vatmat vitam vipakam ridvagvapavir vidyan vinas namaste. Says bhakti pade sadayabhak, or mukti pade sadayabhak, that the devotee, he lives day by day thinking, yes, Krishna's sending everything, everything's controlled by Krishna, let me just tolerate. Tam satik shashvabharata. We must tolerate. We cannot fight our environment. We will get a certain amount of suffering and a certain amount of an enjoyment in this life. And we can't change it. But we can change our future by our present activity. We can change our future by a change of consciousness. We must change our consciousness. And this is the whole meaning of human life. It's human life is an opportunity to change consciousness. Because in human life, there's an opportunity for expression of free will. And the other forms of life, they are controlled completely by destiny, or you can say providence, or by their karma. There's no opportunity for free will. They're moving here or there according to their destiny, or you can say providence. But in human form of life, we have free choice. We have freedom. And that freedom we should use to change our consciousness. Whatever suffering or enjoyment I'm experiencing in this life or will experience is due to my consciousness, which I cultivated and developed in my previous life and in this life. Now if I want to attain eternal blissful life, full of happiness in the spiritual Nityadham, Haridham, then I must change my consciousness. I must purify my consciousness, and that is my free choice. At every opportunity we can take a decision. We can take a decision to turn to God or turn away from God. And the example that's given by Acharyas, which we mentioned before, because this verse is talking about providence, and the next verse also it talks about destiny. We could read that verse because it's basically the same point. When a fire for some unseen reason leaps over one piece of wood and sets fire to the next, the reason is destiny. Similarly, when a living entity accepts one kind of body and leaves aside another, there is no other reason than unseen destiny. Prabhupada's purport. When there is a fire in a village, a fire sometimes jumps over one house and burns another. Similarly, when there's a fire, a forest fire, the fire sometimes jumps over one tree and catches fire to another. Why this happens? No one can say. One may set forth some imaginary reason why the nearest tree or house did not catch fire, whereas a tree or house in a distant place did. But actually the reason is destiny. This reason also applies to the transmigration of the soul, by which a prime minister in one life may become a dog in the next. The work of unseen destiny cannot be ascertained by practical experimental knowledge. And therefore one must be satisfied by reasoning that everything is done by supreme providence. In other words, through intelligence means the reasoning faculty, to discriminate, to use reasonable powers of understanding and balance and weighing and analysis and taking decision or making a move. This is the function of intelligence. So the intelligent person sees that everything is happening by destiny. But if one studies Shastra and studies scripture, he will see that the cause behind everything is destiny, and then the ultimate cause behind everything is the living entity's particular actions. For example, Why is one tree saved from the forest fire and another one is burned? Or the other example is given is a house. Just like in the Calcutta Book Fair. In the Calcutta Book Fair a few years ago, there was a huge fire. Millions and billions of dollars, everything lost. It was in the paper, it was a big fire a few years ago, 2-3 years ago. So everybody burned down, all these book people, they burned down. But there was one stall right there in the middle that didn't burn down. The books didn't burn down. You know what stall that was? Bhakti Vedanta Book Trust. Srila Prabhupada Ki. On the left-hand side, burned down. On the right-hand side, burned down. On the back side, burned down. But Prabhupada's bookstall didn't burn down. Haribo. So why? And no one was there. It wasn't that the devotees were there putting it. It was in nighttime. No one was there except Agni Dev and Chandra, Surya, Krishna, Antaryami, Prabhupada, Acharyas, Vyasadeva, literary incarnation. The Bhagavatam was there, the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Bhagavad Gita, Shastra Praman. So, because on the right hand side, and the back side, and front side, all around those books are all Maya. They're all nonsense. So there's a cause for everything. So someone might say, an ordinary person will say, how is it that all these books burned down but yours didn't? And so people were saying, in the newspapers said, God must be with the Krishnas. God must be with the Krishnas. He saved their books. And then some kind of snide remark or something. The guy said, like, it looks like we'll be, the only books you could buy are the Krishnas. He made some kind of like underhanded statement. It's kind of a funny thing he said. He said something like, and so it looks like the book fair, you'll only be able to buy Krishna books in the book fair or something like that. Of course, everyone came the next day and made new tents and everything. The point is, everything has a cause. Everything actually has a cause. And we may not see it, so we just say, it's providence, it's destiny. So sometimes people, they accuse Indian people of being fatalistic. They say, well, whatever happens, happens. I surrender to fate. Fate, destiny, providence. Whatever, I'm powerless. I can't do anything. No, that's wrong. Human life, you have full power. You have power of free choice. And power of decision. Your general context of your life is determined by your karma. But within that general context, you have so much room for decision making. So much opportunity to make a free, independent decision, which is not controlled by karma. An example given is, you buy a ticket for the airplane to Bombay. So you make a decision. So you take a decision, you buy the ticket, you get on the plane. So now, you will have to, the results of your decision you will have to experience. You decided to get on the plane, you bought a ticket to Bombay, now you can't change it now. You made a decision and you acted, now you're going to Bombay. Right? You have the ticket, the plane's going to Bombay. So that decision you made, and you get the reaction. So whatever decision and action you make, you get the reaction. So now that's like life itself. You made certain decisions and actions in this life and previous life, and now you're getting the reaction. Just like you make a decision to buy a ticket, go to Bombay, you get on the plane, now you're flying. Okay, that's your destiny. But now there's your free will. There's your opportunity to make new decisions. There's your free opportunity to make new choices, even in the context of your destiny. So the cited example is your destiny which you are the architect of, which you have designed by your decision. Your destiny now is, I'm going to Bombay in 2 hours. But now where's the free will? Is there no free will? So much free will. Do you choose to sleep? Do you choose to stay awake? Do you choose to eat non-veg? Or do you choose to eat veg? Do you choose to create a disturbance on the airplane? Maybe you say, you pull out some plastic gun, you know, some that they didn't see on the, X-ray, whatever they call it. Some, they have plastic guns, you know, that real gun, but it's X-ray proof. And dacoits out. So you hit this gun inside, and you pull, okay. And you start trying to rob the people on the plane, you create a disturbance. So you use your free will, you create a disturbance, So somehow there's some powerful, agents on the board, and they catch you and put handcuffs on you. Now, you simply made a decision to go to Bombay. That was your destiny. But why, on the course of going through your destiny to go to Bombay, you made a choice to be nonsense and try to rob the people on the airplane with your gun. You got handcuffed, you get off the plane, where do you go? You go to jail. Now, you could have also made another choice. You could have talked to the guy next to you, and you find out that he has a business something like yours, and you make an alliance. Like he does, say he does, you do courier mail in India, but he does courier mail overseas. So then you say, well, I'll send you all my overseas work, and you make some kind of, bond. So by that choice, when you get off the airplane, you've increased your fortune. You made a friend, and you made some business contact. When you got on the airplane, you had, you didn't have this money or this contact, and now you change. And you eat, so many choices you have. So life is like that. What is destined, what you can't change is how many years you'll live, how much education, how much intelligence you have, how much beauty you have. If you're ugly, you're ugly. You can't do much about it, no matter how much you lift your eyes or chin or nose or break your nose and redesign it. But you have so many choices. Like today, you woke up, you say, well, should I sleep till 11? I should sleep till 11 o'clock, it's Sunday. Or should I go to the temple? That's not determined by karma. That's your free choice. So when you make a decision to go to God, return to God, and you choose God, then your life starts to become auspicious, mangalam. Then your fortune increases. And so a devotee, at every second, he's choosing God. He's making the conscious decision to choose God, to serve God, to remember God. So this is how we shape our future, by our choices, by our decision making. When we always turn to God, then our consciousness becomes pure. There's no longer any, the karmas gradually start to go away from our consciousness. Our desires for material life, our attachments, they gradually are purified and removed from our consciousness. That is done by the mercy of God. Śrīmatam svākata krishna punya śravana kirtana ridyantakṣṭo yabhadrāni virunati sarīcitaṁ. Abhadrāni. Abhadrāni means all inauspicious things. Abhadra. Kam, krodh, lobh, moha, matsarya, anxiety, alienation, disturbance, problems. That is all in our heart. It is all in our consciousness. Due to our sins and our papam in this life and previous life. But when we surrender to God, when we hear the voice of Krishna, Śrīmatam svākata krishna, right? This is purity, this is punya. When we hear Krishna's voice, we hear Bhagavatam. Krishna speaking in Bhagavatam. We hear Krishna's voice in the Gita. We hear Krishna's vibration in His mantra, in His holy name. Or we hear Krishna's sound vibration from the devotees. And that enters into our heart. Krishna enters into our heart and He personally cleanses our consciousness. And He takes away the abhadrani and makes our life auspicious. Makes our life peaceful, happy, joyful, anxiety free. So this is how providence, how destiny works to bless the devotee. If we choose Krishna, Krishna will help us. So ultimately everything is done by providence, everything is done by God, but He gives out His justice according to our actions. They can say everything is done by the government. The government's doing everything. But when you act lawfully, you live peacefully. When you go against the government, then the government gives you suffering. So the government is the cause of pleasure or pain. But you're actually the immediate cause and the efficient cause. So everything is ultimately done because Krishna remembers the past, present, and future. So He gives us our reward or our punishment. So we don't know all the bad we did, so when Krishna punishes us, we say, oh, it's not fair. It is fair. Everything is completely fair. There's no injustice. There is no injustice in the kingdom of God. There's imperfect perception on our part. But everything is just and everything is fair. We can't blame God. We have to blame ourselves. So that's why I said the ultimate conclusion is we have to adjust and change our consciousness. And therefore our whole future and present and future will change. Srimad Bhagavatam ki. So, some questions? It says the question is that when a judge in a court of law, he punishes someone, that person who is being punished, he knows what action he did, and he knows why he's getting the punishment. And accordingly, he can improve his life. But we don't know for which action God is giving that particular punishment. Well, that's the point I made. That we don't remember what we did 5 years ago. We forgot. Maybe we did good things 5 years ago, or maybe bad things. We don't remember. So, nor do we remember what good or bad things we did in our previous life. But God remembers. So we have to accept the fact that whatever good and bad is happening to me, it is due to me. That is the whole reason that Lord Brahma speaks this verse in the 14th chapter. I think it's 8th verse of the 14th chapter, 10th canto, Tattenu Kampam. That whatever good and bad happens to me, it is due to me. Just like the person who gets punished by the judge, he knows it's my fault. I did bad. I got caught. Now I'm getting punished. So in the same way, I am suffering. I'm in want. I'm in poverty. I don't have intelligence or money or position. I have disease. I don't have health. I'm suffering. Because of why? Because of me. Because I acted wrong. I thought wrong. I performed wrong activities in this life or in previous life. Because I lived before. Don't think that this is your first time around. That's a total foolishness. So then we use our reason and our logic and our intelligence to accept, yes, I lived before, I must have done something wrong, and now I'm getting punished. You may not see it, but it's not, in other words, nothing happens by chance. There's like one, even if you see those trees, one tree, one house burns, another house doesn't burn. The fire is going like this, it burns all that, that's like the bookstall. So it burns all these houses and it jumps over this house. And then no one knows. So because nobody makes a deep inquiry. But if you made a deep investigation, you see that the five houses on both sides, all those people were dealing in black money. They were all non-veg. They were all sinful people. And that one house that didn't get burned down, that person was worshipping Shalagram Shila inside. In other words, there is a reason for everything. There is a cause for everything, and we have to see that. Just like you go to school and you study science, and you have so many questions when you were a child. Why this, why that? Then you study science. You study physics and biology and different sciences. Then the science teachers, they answer so many questions. And you think, oh, that's how that happens. And that's how this, you see so many, when you live in this physical world, you see so many laws and so many actions. But you don't understand. But when you study physics and you study science, I understand. This happens because of this, and this is held up because of that, and this. And then you have knowledge of this world. So in the same way, when you study metaphysics, there's physics and metaphysics. Metaphysics means beyond physics. There's a physical and non-physical. I am physical, but I am more than physical. I am also metaphysical. I am material, but I am more than material. I am spiritual. I am matter and spirit. Right? I am Purusha and Prakriti. I am Prakriti and Atma. It's not just Prakriti. So we have to understand there's two sciences existing side by side. There's two realities existing side by side. We live in two dimensions. We have a material body with a soul. The soul is not material. It's not made by matter. It's not destroyed by matter. Ultimately, it's not influenced by matter. But when it identifies with Prakriti, then we suffer and joy. So we have to study the spiritual science, then we'll understand about the past, and about karma, and about the future. So this question, then you understand. Yes, I understand by reason, by logic, by spiritual metaphysical science, I understand why I am enjoying, and why am I suffering. I am enjoying good beauty, good health, good family, good position, good money, because I did many, many good things in my previous life. For example, another example that's given. A man may work very, very hard. And he accumulates lots of money by his good karma. He accumulates lots of money. He lives a good life, a pious life. But then he decides, at the age of 35, he decides to quit his job and live a degenerated life. He starts spending all his money and committing all kinds of sins. Right? People do that. So that's his free choice. But then what's going to happen to him in the future? Then he won't be so rich. He won't be rich. Whereas somebody else, he's working very hard, but he's never getting any money. This is all determined. We have to do our duty, as what the next verse talks about our duty. We'll discuss tomorrow. The main thing is to understand, and we have the phrase in English, man is the architect of our destiny. Destiny means right now. The present day activities and experiences due to the past. So now we should understand this with reason and logic and act in such a way to improve this life and improve our next life. That's human life. Animal life you cannot improve. You can't do anything. You'll just go gradually from body to body. Human life you can become demigod. You become dog. Next life you can become dog. The purport, Prabhupada said, it's that you can be prime minister in this lifetime and a dog in next lifetime. Because that's because one astrologer years ago, he said that one prime minister of one country, because of his activities, he took birth as a dog in Sweden. And one Jyotish, he made this prediction. Because they asked, they said, where is this famous prime minister now? And he did calculation. He said, yes, because of his activities, because of his papa karma, he took birth as a dog in Sweden. Just like 5th canto of Bhagavatam. Once a person was an emperor. His name was Bharat. You heard of Bharat? There's a country called Bharat Varsh. You know that country, Bharat? Jai Hind, Jai Bharat. You're sitting in it. You're sitting in Bharat. So Bharat was an emperor. He was a Raja, a Pradhan Mantri, or whatever you call it. He was a big king, Maharaj. But what he became in his next life? The Purana story, the history is there. He became a mriga, a harin, a deer. He became an animal. That's in the Puranas. That's in the Sanskrit Vedic Puranas. It's not some Jyotish prediction or speculation. He became a deer. So these things can go happen. Because of some deviation, some affection for Maya. That was his fault. You can't blame God. It was his fault. He fell in love with a deer. A little baby deer. As an emperor, he was in the forest. Oh, the deer is so nice. And all his affection and love went for the deer. And not to God. And then when he died looking and thinking of the deer. So he came back as a deer. So if you live like a dog, if you live like a dog and act like a dog and think like a dog, you become a dog. So we should improve our quality of consciousness. The question, it's a nice way to do question. This is the way to do question. You write them down because then you don't have to hear and speak twice because you can't hear with a pen. Does the karma of this life affect our present life right now, or do we only get the results in our next life? So how many, I will take a survey, how many of you good souls, intelligent people, how many of you think that the karma and actions we do in this life, we only get the reactions in next life? How many think that the actions we perform, the karmas we do right now, today, will affect us in this life and the next life? Yeah, we had to have this third choice. I raised both hands. Haribol, Haribol. So if you say Haribol, Haribol, right now, it will change your life tomorrow and in the future also. Haribol, Haribol, Haribol! Because if you chant one time Krishna's name today, then tomorrow you'll have a different life. Tomorrow, not 1,000 lifetimes from now. Tomorrow your life will be different. The point is made is chanting Hare Krishna is not karma. But chanting Hare Krishna changes your life. And your life is actions. Chanting Hare Krishna is completely transcendental. That's an important thing to understand. It's completely spiritual activity. It's pleasing to God. So when you serve God, then God changes your life. But why does He change your life? Because of your action. Right? So that you say, oh, God is making me suffer, God is giving me pleasure. No, you are doing it. So when you choose to serve God in a simple way, an easy way of Kali Yuga, just Nam Sankirtan, then He will respond to you by improving your life. He'll improve this life. He'll improve the actions and reactions of this life, and He'll improve your next life. That is His reciprocation. It is not a material activity, but we living in the material context. For example, today you're sinning and you're suffering and you're in anxiety and you're not peaceful and you start chanting Hare Krishna. So why do you become peaceful? Why do you become happy? That's a gift of Krishna. You don't deserve it because you're suffering. You should suffer for so many years due to your sins. When you start chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna purifies your heart and He purifies the karmas which are causing your suffering. Then your suffering gets diminished. This is explained in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. By performing bhakti, one gets relief from material distress. Material distress means your karmas, means your kleshas. Adi Atmaka Klesha, Adi Bodhika, Adi Daivaka. So that means that chanting Hare Krishna is a spiritual activity, but it does change your karmas. It brings you to mangalam. It creates mangalam. It's the beginning of auspicious life. Auspicious life means sattvic life. Sattvic life, there's lakshana. Sattvic life has characteristics. Peacefulness, tolerance, happiness of mind and senses, a good rest at night, good digestion. Many things will come. Krishna will give these things. Your life will improve materially, mentally, everything can improve. If Krishna chooses, you may increase your suffering. But the whole idea is, ultimately, Krishna is bringing, when you turn to Krishna, you'll go to Krishna. And when you attain Krishna, there's no more suffering. The question is, when there's a plane crash and everyone dies at the same time, is that destined? Well, you're saying everyone dies at the same time. That means all the human beings may be calculated and counted as dying. But there may be so many cockroaches and so many ants inside that plane also. Right? Do they come in with the food? Because the food is made in Delhi and there's so many cockroaches come in with the dinners and everything. They're flying around the plane. Haven't you ever seen? I've been on airplanes and seen cockroaches, ants, mosquitoes, everything. So they don't take any account. Did the cockroaches die in that plane crash? Did the ants? Maybe they did, maybe they didn't. Anyway, so maybe their destiny was not to die. They crashed and walked away in a new city. So the question is, do all those people, the human beings who die simultaneously, were they destined to all die at that moment? Obviously the answer is, Haribo. Yes, of course. My friend, he's coming on the highway, he had three children and his wife, he was on a holiday to go to Disneyland. And he thought, well, maybe, you know, since we're on our vacation, we're going there, LA, there's some temple. Maybe we see the temple, let's see. So they got in the car crash. Everybody burned up except him. He thought, well, what's a vacation without your wife and children? And so all of a sudden, Disneyland and Hollywood, it all became very meaningless. And the only thought that was in his mind, well, we did have some plan to visit the Hare Krishna temple. So since I have, my life is practically my wife is gone, my children, there's no, what's left? So then he said, well, I'm 2 kilometers from the temple. I go to the temple. So he went to the temple and now he's initiated. So like that, Krishna, everything is determined by destiny. We say destiny, but this is a tricky statement because, yeah, then I have no control. No, Krishna is arranging everything according to what we do. There's two causes. The efficient cause and the immediate cause. We say, oh, why is God doing this? God's doing it. Yes, God's doing it. God is making it rain. God is making it cold. He's making it hot. He's making you get disease. He's giving you health. He's giving you disease. He's giving you money. He's giving you poverty. He's giving all that. He's controlling everything. Just like the judge gives award, he awards one person $1 million settlement, another person he puts on the gallows and cuts his, you know, hangs him, or cuts his head off, guillotine. So why is he doing that? Because one person deserves this, one person deserves that. So God is doing everything according to what we deserve.